चेतौदर्पणमर्जनं वौमहादावाग्निर्वापणं श्रेयश्चैदवचन्द्रियावितरणं द्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मा सुबलम्बरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन कालाम् एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशविहाजनिनानुराग्राहम् तृणारवीषु नीचैना तरोरवि सहिष्णुना मानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदाल् भक्तिरहै दुगित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करं पतितामां शमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूली सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गलदश्रुधारय वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निखितं कदा वपुः तव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्दविरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरथां पिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधातुलं वरो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द सो देवासुर संबद्ध विभाग योगम दिस चैप्टर Actually, these two small chapters, they are not big, 20-25 verses, that's all. Devasana Sambandhi Bhaga Yogam and Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam, the 17th chapter. So, once we have completed that, then half of Bhagavad Gita is over then. We started with the 10th one, isn't it? 10, 11, 10 to 18, we completed that. So, the thing is that the what we were talking about before, that Nirindhana Ivanala. Nirindhanam. Nirindhanam means no fuel inside. What's the fuel? Vasana. Vasanas inside. Desires and vasanas. All these are the fuel inside. Yeah. Unless they have gone, if the cylinder is empty, then you have nothing to fear. But if the vasanas are inside, then it will catch fire. Right. So, if there is no desires, there is no vasanas inside, then that stage is called Nirindhana Ivanala. So while talking about a guru, everywhere if you look in the shastram, you are expected to have a very high standard of realization and freedom from all these. Otherwise it won't work. It will be like, it may do certain benefit for some people, but apart from that, strictly that self-realization to happen, the guru has to have the qualifications, what Parichalogan Karmajidan Guruveda Mayal Agradakradena Tadvijnanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigachet Shamitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. These are all the Upanishad statements about the guru. And if you have to get a guru like that today, it is impossible. It is difficult to find one. But the question is that the nature's arrangement is such that if the person is the seeker or the one who wants to realize the truth, mukshu or the seeker, if he is qualified, Prakriti will make the arrangements to meet a person like that. That's also there. Pariksha logan karmachitan nurvedamayal agradakradena. So what is his qualification? He has experimented with the world and he has understood this world properly. And Vairagyam had come to him. Nirveda means Vairagyam. And there is no more nothing to be done in this world. He has come to that conclusion strongly. Agradakradena, tadvijnanartham. So one who wants knowledge, self-realization, such a guru one should take shelter of. So you can see the standard set in the shastram is very high. So all the other things what you find in this world are the watered down versions of that, of the original standard what Krishna has set in the Upanishads as well as in the Shastram. The, what we find in the world today, who are coming as gurus and posing as gurus and posing as disciples. They are only posing that. They are not in that state yet, anywhere near to that. Yeah. So that's why these verses are important. We must know what is the standard. Because unless you know the standard, you will think that everything is bona fide. Everything is not bona fide. Bona fide, we make it bona fide in our own way. They can't do anything about it. And then we hold on to that and start thinking we have got it. That's another mistake. We start thinking we have got it. And then we celebrate all the days on based on that and thinking that we are making progress. That's just only our own imagination, right? So, Rishis are saying to that if it is like that, you will get purified, and there is a discussion here in the Bhagavatam that Krishna carries the flute with him all the time, is it not? So one gopi asked the flute that how fortunate you are. Why? Because Krishna is always carrying you within his hands, right? Whereas he doesn't stay with us all the time. Sometimes he stays, sometimes not. But with you, he always keeps you with him in his hips, right? He does not abandon you any time. And through you, beautiful music comes when Krishna plays the flute, right? So the flute replied the gopi. Gopi asked this question, right? Look at me, I am hollow inside. I am empty. I am just hollow inside, right? If you become also hollow like me, then you will become holy. First you have to become hollow to become holy. In other words, the ahangaram has to go first from inside. We all have ahangaram. Because the ahangaram doesn't go away, therefore, normally we say, sannyasis, we say, His Holiness, this Swami, whatever it is, isn't it? His Holiness, we say like that. Actually, we should call His Holiness. It should be addressed as His Holiness, because you're supposed to have that, right? If you become hollow, then you will become holy. First you have to become hollow to become holy, right? Hollow means the ahangaram has to completely leave us. Means ahangaram means the vasanas have to go, ragadvesham has to go, kartrutvam bhoktrutvam has to go, right? So holiness in person cannot happen, right? Because in a person, if you talk about holiness, what it means is that immediately you start thinking he is the one who is going to change the world, purify the world, right? Or sometimes you will say he is incarnation, all these things, right? They are all foolishness to talk like that, right? When a person becomes nothing, that means that ahangaram completely left him, right? What will happen is that the ordinary person, right? Ordinary person, how he has connection with his mind. With the mind means, now we all have connection with our mind and also with our vasanas all the time. Vasanas, right? So, just like we have contact with the world outside, is it not? And that creates desires in us because of the connection with the world. Lust, anger, greed, envy, desires. All these are due to contact with the world outside. And suppose we don't have all that, then you will get good sleep without any problem, right? So, all these things, we get it from the world outside. And that stays within us as vasana. And we have contact with that. That's how our contact with the world stays inside, right? In the same way, a person who is situated in the platform of the self, in other words, self-realized person, right? He will have contact with Ishvara inside. Like in our present state, we look at it, the world has gone inside us, and that is present inside us in the form of vasana and different thoughts and emotions and everything, right? In a similar way, one who is situated in Brahman, Brahmanishtan, he will have contact with Ishvara in the same way. Like we have contact with all the other things, but he will have contact with the Antaryami in the same way. Like we have contact with the other things. Just like in our present state, if you look at it, our mind will work, mind will have influenced by the vasanas and influenced by the thoughts, emotions, everything. If they are not there, what will happen? The contact will be with the Antaryami straight away. So, Antaryami's nature is compassion, karunyam, right? So, that is why it says there, ahaituki daya sindhu. Antaryami is compassionate to us, and kind to us, but we have created all these vasanas, and which is a covering on top of the Antaryami, right? So, so this is the interesting thing, that this vasanas inside, which can be demoniac, which can be divine as well, but most of the case it is demoniac nature, and as long as they are there, this connection with the Antaryami is not possible. That is why this chapter is talking about that world inside where what has created the covering of the Antaryami. Antaryami is compassionate to open up for us, but because this has created this avidya inside, right? And if that avidya goes away, then you become a perfect instrument for transfer of that grace, Krishna's grace, right? Just like electricity going through a conductor. So basically, jnanis or realized souls, they become a channel for the Antaryami to communicate. That's the difference. All this happens inside. Antaryami can communicate with the jiva freely, or the realized soul freely, and he becomes a channel through which Ishvara can communicate with the jiva, right? That is what that verse is saying. Bandhu anamatam satam, he says, right? So, Vedanta Deshikar, a great acharya in the Ramanuja traditions, he mentions like this, that Durga Bandhu, he says. Durga Bandhu means, his relationship is not temporary with the Antaryami. It's eternal. That relationship with the Antaryami is eternal, right? So, in other words, he is a person who has got the capacity to give the right advice to the right person. And whenever we slip from there, he'll chastise us to come back to the spiritual state, right? So, therefore, such a person who has that state, who is in that state, only he is qualified to be a guru or a speaker, or you can say acharya. These three roles. Only he should be there in that role. And I'm sure that most of these gurus in the world don't think all these things about it. This is the standard of the guru's position, acharya's position. Or you can say that speaker also. Only then the effect will be there. Speaker, vaktava, like Shiva Brahmarshi is a vakta there, or a guru, or an acharya, this is the qualification. Now, in Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam, Krishna said the same thing, isn't it? Egadasya skandam hirukumam madabhityam gurum shandam upasidam adalmagam. That's the definition, Krishna's definition of a guru. All others are duplicates, what has come after that. Or it cannot take it as seriously. They have helped people, no doubt, you can't deny that. But to say that they can give you the, they can release you from the bondage, that's a doubtful thing. But they can give you, at least help you in your spiritual path to some extent, bring you to the level where they are at, and you will be stuck there. Won't go further than that. So, this is the problem. And so, now all this to say what a guru should be, Vaktava should be. Now let's look at Shrotava, the listener, how he should be, right? In the Bhagavatam you see this verse, Shushrushubhi Talchanal, it says, isn't it, the beginning, yeah. Shushrushubhi Talchanal, the second chapter, first chapter itself, yeah. Yeah. Shushrusha. So, Shushrusha means what? Shushrusha means, normally Shushrusha means, suppose you get sick, you are taken care, somebody is doing Shushrusha for you, they say Shushrusha. Looking after a patient is Shushrusha. Shushrusha is a word used like that, right? But actually Shushrusha means Shrodham Icha. Shrodham Icha means he has a desire to hear. To hear what? Right? To hear about the truth, about Krishna, right? And he has a desire for hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Bhagavatam, right? So, in other words, he wants to know spiritual truth. What is spirituality? What is spiritual sadhana? And he has a desire to know that. And above everything else, he has an intense desire for hearing Atmatattva, knowledge of the self. What knowledge is, right? So, Sadyohrid avirudyadetra kridubi shushrushubi talchanal. That's how Bhagavatam says, isn't it? So, what does that say? It's saying that if you are ready, person is ready, then Krishna will enter inside. Avirudyadetra kridubi, and the result will happen straight away. Bhagavatam is saying this. I am not saying. Bhagavatam is saying this. Sadyohridya avirudyadetra kritubi shushrushubi talchanal. Talchanal, that's the word. Talchana means instantaneously it happens. But it hasn't happened. After 30 years, 40 years, it hasn't happened. Bhagavatam says instantaneously it should happen. So you can see the problem that the standard what Shastram is asking, we haven't got it. Neither the Vakta nor the Shrotava nor the Prachagan, none of us are in that state. We are way behind from there. So that is why the statements in the Bhagavatam are very precise and spoken very precisely in the sense that Shuddyohrad, Sadyohrad, Avirudhyadetra Kritubi. When a person is ready, properly is qualified, immediately the result will come. Shushrushubi Talchanal, he says. Immediately it should happen without delay. Right? So, that is the Shrodhava. Shrodhava, right? For Shrodhava, for listener, in Vedantam so many things are spoken. What is required, right? First of all, Vivegam. Power of discrimination. Of temporary and permanent. To know that. He has to have studied the world properly and got disgusted with this world. Realizing, disgusted in the sense that there is nothing to be done in this world. Or plans in this world he has to give up. He does not feel any need anymore to patronize this world or to do anything in this world. More than that, vairagyam, detachment from this world. Vairagyam is detachment, not renunciation. Renunciation is forcefully you are giving up something. Forcefully. That's renouncing things. Detachment is knowing the danger involved in all these things, getting implicated in things, in bondage, and getting entangled in things, and thereby you are going to get into trouble later. Realizing this and able to keep the distance from everything else about entanglement in this world. That's called detachment. That's called detachment, right? Then, shamam, damam, ubaradi, tirisha, shraddha, samadhanam. The six basic qualifications, shamam, control of the mind, control of the senses, then able to withdraw from things, then first class shraddha, samadhanam, mumukshatvam, all these things. If you have all these things, you have to hear Bhagavad Gita only once. That's enough, right? Then once enough, the result is there. Result will be there, right? Now we have heard for how many years now? 25, 30 years, we have been hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, back and forth, right? So, and in that state, in this state, speaking Bhagavad Gita is happiness, hearing Bhagavad Gita is also happiness, anandam, right? And, but so many years we have heard now Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam one after the other, right? And we were able to hear and speak about that. That itself is it's a Krishna's blessing that we were able to do that, right? Because only there is something that you are getting from that. That's why you are coming and hearing it, is it not? Something in the Bhagavad Gita is affecting you, or in the Bhagavatam, right? So that is why you are hearing. Otherwise you won't be hearing it, right? So that itself is a siddhi. It's a siddhi. But siddhi is in one level. That is a siddhi. That is Krishna's mercy, that is. That you have some taste for it in some form. Something you are keeping you still connected to Bhagavad Gita. Not able to feel some importance for Bhagavad Gita in life. Some attraction for Bhagavatam also in the same way. So, but all these things to become anubhuti. Anubhuti means in the realization stage. Now it is shrodha, you are just listening it, isn't it? But it has not become anubhuti. Anubhuti has not happened. Anubhuti is a realized state, right? In order that to happen, if anubhuti has to come, this is siddhi level now. You are getting it, but anubhuti has not come. But if anubhuti has to happen, then the shrotava or the listener has to have only one goal, self-realization. Nothing else in life. He has to be in that state, shrotava. Only then it will work. So you can see what is expected of shrotava. Like the speaker we have seen, what is expected of speaker, vaktava. Similarly, shrotava also has to reach that state. He should have no interest whatsoever in this world except self-realization. To come to that state, right? Shrotava are various types. You discussed that before also in the Bhagavatam, isn't it?
Yeah.
We saw different types of shrotava, right? Some people, they will hear so many things. Some stories they will hear. Katha here and something else there. Some tattvam here. And they will hear all sorts of things. Just like there is a sabji where you put all vegetables together. Avial they call it. And in that sabji you put everything. Bhimasena invented that sabji apparently after Rajasuyam. He created that. He managed to... He was fond of cooking. Bhimasena was very fond of cooking. So he created that sabji, right? And in that everything is included. All vegetables you can put in that, right? So similarly, there are people, listeners like that. They will read all kinds of books. All gurus' books, all kinds of shastram they will read. And they will listen to all Google, they will search, ChatGPT, everything, collect information from everywhere and make a meal out of it and keep it inside. There are people like that. They would have read all sorts of things. And then they'll take notes also. And then they will have a lot of doubts also inside about everything. You see, look at certain people, they are like that. They will have information from all sorts of spiritual personalities. They would have collected information. And then they would have read all sorts of books also. And these are the people who try different types of religions, I've seen in this world. For some 6 months they will try Buddhism and then say it's not working. Then they'll try Islam for another 6 months or 1 year and say it doesn't fit. Then they'll say Hare Krishna for 6 months. That's also not working. And then they become Catholic after that. So this way they keep shifting from one to another. These are the type of people who collects information and process it inside and confused completely and not knowing which way to go and travel like that, right? So that means their mind is always working, doing something, doing all these things, right? That kind of shrotava, listener, he will know many things And he will also know about this world outside. He will have a lot of information about the world as well, right? And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says about such a listener, is like they are like flies. What the flies do? Flies will go into the bakery and all the sweets are there, he will sit on that. And then he will go to the drainage and he will sit there also. So these kind of listeners are like that. They're not clear in their mind. Sometimes they enjoy YouTube, Facebook, all other things, all the garbage, serials, everything. And sometimes they will read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So majority are these flies characters, in this flies category, right? They take pleasure from that side and they take pleasure from drainage, they take pleasure from the sweets in the bakery also, bakery shop also, right? So they are like that, they will read Bhagavad Gita, they will do their chanting round and everything. Says, I've done my sadhana now, let me watch TV for a little time. They want some pleasure from that, right? And then TV, and then for some time, let me look at the internet, what it is going to say. Or then the Facebook. And then after all that, they'll say, let me have some, look for some gossip somewhere. For some gossip, right? So in this way, they will sit in both sides. In the world, they will sit for some time. And then they'll come and sit in the spiritual world for some time. Then they'll go into the material world again to enjoy there, right? So first class Shrotava, he cannot be like that. He's not of that category, right? First class Shrotava means only self-realization. You have to reach that state, right? So that means he has got that shanti inside to that extent. Because when you don't have shanti, you do all these things. That's the reason behind that, yeah? So Krishna put that in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter when he talked about Dhyana Yoga. That is his state, Krishna is saying. He should be in that way. What is that? He says there, 22nd, 622. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyadhe nadhigam tada yasmin stito na dukkhena guru nabhi vijalyade. That is his qualifications. If we read all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita seriously, you will start realizing that there's a long way to go. Every one of us. Yeah? We have a long way to go. What to the standard what Krishna has spoken there. So to think that I have understood Bhagavad Gita, it will hurt you more when you realize that it is such a... truth is simple, but avidya inside is so strong. That is the problem. So Krishna says there, yam ladhva chaparam labham manyadhe nadhiyam tada yasmin sthito dukkhena guru nabhi vichalyade. That listener that has got one power, prabhavam. What is that? We are talking about this Shrotava who has completely focused on self-realization only, nothing else, right? If such a Shrotava comes in, sits in front of a guru who is brahmanishtam, like the way guru is spoken, defined before, which is like the ideal guru is considered to be Dakshinamurti, Lord Shiva as Dakshinamurti, right? He will open up like a flower opens up. He will open up, right? That means even if the guru does not want to say something, it will come out from him because of the qualification of the disciple. Disciple is so qualified that because of that position he is at, and a guru is also qualified, the guru will speak things even if the disciple has not asked for it. In such a way it will come out, right? And that is the power of the Shrotava. Shrotava's power is such that it will make the guru to reveal everything what he knows to the disciple. And it all happens from Antaryami inside. So this guru-disciple relationship is between Antaryami to Antaryami. It's not based on the body. You see, when you keep on taking body as everything, a lot of mistakes happen in spiritual life. And for many, many years, you carry on your spiritual life thinking that I am the body and he is the body. On that concept, you are running your spiritual life, isn't it? I am the body, he is also the body. And when he die, we say, oh, my guru is dead now. Now, what will be he doing now? And how will I recognize him if he see him next time in spiritual world is somewhere if you meet up again, because he's supposed to meet us there, isn't it? So this is all our mind will work in that way. Otherwise, what's our understanding of the Guru? All we know is a person, and we are used to seeing him through the body only, and his clothes, and his demeanor, or whatever we call that. So that's how, and we keep talking about it, how he ate, how he slept, how he spoke, how he walked. And all these things we'll keep discussing day after day after day. But that is not a spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is that, to know that a Guru is that the way it is spoken in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and the disciple also the way it is spoken here. Otherwise it's not a disciple. Yeah. So if the disciple has such power, such strength, the way it has been spoken here, right? Even a tree can become a guru, right? A sun can become a guru, or the deity in the temple can become a guru, if the disciple has come to that level, right? But if the disciple does not have it, mumukshatvam it's called, self-realization, the desire for self-realization, right? Even if he doesn't have that, even if he is in the association of a self-realized soul, then, even then, he... it will not have any effect. So both sides have to be qualified. The speaker has to be qualified. The listener also has to come to that standard, mumukshatvam. So it is that mumukshatvam that makes the disciple qualified. And what Krishna says, madabhityam gurum shantam upasitam adatmagam, that's what makes the guru qualified. Only when these two are there, then the result will be there. Okay. So, otherwise, even if he sits in the realized soul, there will be no benefit from that, right? Normally what happens if unqualified people come, totally unqualified people, when they come, then the speaker, everything he will not be revealed. It will not come out from him. Nothing will come from his heart, right? So therefore, Shrodhava has got a power, right? Strength in him, right? That is why Krishna said in that earlier verse, fourth verse, Tameva Madhyam Purusham Puranam. Adhyam Purusham Pravardhi. Eda Pravarta Prasada Purani. In the last chapter we have seen. Last chapter, fourth verse, right? That means he says you have to surrender to that Parama Purusha, right? For what? In order to become free from samsaram. Samsara means this material existence, right? In order, you remember that verse?
Yes.
What Krishna said? He said that, I know the verse is very heavy in the sense that fourth verse, tadaparam dad parimargidavyam, that is 15:4. Tadaparam dad parimargidavyam, yasmin gada nanivartandi bhuyaha, tameva chadyam purusham prabadye, yada pravarti prasada purani. That verse, right? So, that is the standard, that is the standard, right? So, Krishna is saying there that the has to surrender. For what? For what you are surrendering? To cut the root of that tree of samsara. Root of the tree, right? And we talked about that tree before, Urdhva Moola Matha Shaga, what that tree is all about, right? So, what is that tree we are talking about, right? Tree is our life in this world. Tree is our life in this world, right? Samsaram is our life, right? So, what do you understand from that? That means there is a lot of distress in this world. lot of suffering in this world, right? And it is that suffering of this life in this world is projected as the tree. Projected as the tree, right? And that tree is upside down. Is it not? Krishna said it is upside down, right? That means that tree is this body. Is this body which is going through all this. Happiness, distress, suffering, everything, right? And its fruits are all at the bottom of the tree. And its root is in the head. What does that mean? That means head has got completely ignorance, avidya, ajnanam inside. And that is where the tree begins from. From avidya it comes down, the tree. Called this body is a product of that avidya. Avidya created this body, is it not? Avidya created this body. Avidya in the karana shariram is the root of this reason why this body was developed. So body's root is in the avidya. Everything is very sushma, extremely subtle inside. Yeah. So from that, the tree has come out, and from that all the fruits have come about. And due to that, but the root, ajnanam, from where it has all begun, it's in the head, from there. Yeah. So, and that tree is standing upside down. It was shown like that, is it not? The tree down, and fruits are at the bottom, and the tree's roots are stuck somewhere on the top. Where is it? Ajnanam, avidya. It's in the head, right? And so, it's standing upside down. All the distress, what's happening in this tree, where does it happen? Happens in the head. Yeah? So, that is the root. So, in this way, this samsara tree, that is what it is, samsara vruksham, right? Which with its roots as avidya, ajnanam or avidya. Avidya is the root, body is the tree, and the fruits are the suffering. Suffering is the fruits. Body is the tree. Avidya is the root. Starts from avidya, which is head, from the root, you can say that. Why it's shown upside down? For this reason only, that it begins from avidya, which is the head, we can say, the root. From there, the root. Roots are there. Avidya is the place where it starts from. And then the body comes from that, which is the tree. And then all the fruits comes from that suffering. We say happiness and distress, but basically it's all suffering only. Mostly distress only, right? So this way, with ajnanam or avidya as the root, the body as the trunk, and suffering as the root. This is how it is, right? So, and you can say like this, this samsara vriksham, this tree, its distress is its results, fruits. Distress is its fruits, right? And pain or suffering is the fruits, all disturbances, distress. So keeping all these things in mind, Krishna spoke about that, that asanga shastrena dridena chitva. He said that, isn't it? Ashwatthamenam suvirudha moolam. In the third verse, asanga shastrena dridena chitva. 15th chapter is a very important chapter because there is no other chapter in the Bhagavad Gita which is as close to Vedam like this chapter. Right? So, he is saying there, cut off that tree, samsara vriksham. Right? Asangam means, asangam, that is the asangam. This is another interesting shastram. That is the sword to cut that, right? What is that sword? Knowledge of the self. With that knowledge of the self, he says, you cut the root of the tree and go further. And he is called Dhira. Ashwatthamenam suviryudamulam asanga shastram dridena chitva. So a person who has come to that decision and that conclusion, he is the best listener. He is the one who should listen to Bhagavad Gita. We are all hearing Bhagavad Gita, but in our level, whatever it is, a few hours here and there, something goes in, some many things don't go in, and even what has gone in, we don't know what to do with it. And we live like that in this world. But this is the qualification for spiritual life, that one has become, decided to, made this decision that it's a it's a nadi. You remember, nadi means a nerve, or what you call that, right? That nadi is open. Amrita nadi, Karna nadi called Bhagavatam, right? So that nadi, when will that open? Because Ahoidya, it is closed now. That nadi is closed from the ear to the heart. That's what we are saying, isn't it? Like Bhagavatam said, Karna nadim gehradyam chinati, it says. It may not be very nice for us when they say like these things, because our nadis are so closed. It's very difficult to open up, right? So, when will that open? When this Brahma Jitnyasa, Tattva Jitnyasa comes in a person, only then it will open. Athato Brahma Jitnyasa, it says, isn't it? Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa, Bhagavadam. So when Tattva Jitnyasa comes in a person, only then that nadi will open, right? And when that happens, it's a big event in his life, in a person's life, right? Vivekananda Swamiji says this, that that when he was a little boy, right, he went to see Ramakrishna Paramahamsa first time. There he says about that incident, what happened. Narendra was like a burning fire inside. Previous life, you see, it has come through him in this life, right? And its expression of that previous life, how it was expressing out, was that is why he was asking this question to everybody: does God exist? If there is a God exist, where do you find him? Nobody else asked a question like that at that age. Does a God exist? Right? So, and is it possible to know him? He was able to ask that question, right? Otherwise, is this all just a lie? What the Shastram, right? He asked this question to many, many people before, and then finally asked Paramahamsa also the same question, right? And there he meets Paramahamsa in the house of a devotee called Ramachandra Datta. It is in his house this meeting happened. And there he, Narendra was singing. We'll call him Narendra because he was Narendra then. He was singing, and when Narendra sang some bhajans, he was singing. Paramahamsa went into samadhi state after hearing that. Yeah. And while he was leaving, he said, "Are you coming to see me?" He asked him to Narendra, who Paramahamsa asked him, right? Then after a few days, Narendra decided to go and see him. He went to Dakshineshwar, and in that Bhadragali temple, there he went to Paramahamsa and saw him. And when he saw him there, Paramahamsa was not educated or trained in the modern way. Very simple villager he was. He had his dhoti on, hair was all there, and very old clothes he wore, and he behaved like an ordinary person in front of the village. That's how he was. He was not sophisticated like the modern people are, right? So this 16-year-old Narendra went up to him, and he looked at him, and when he saw him in the house of the devotee, Ramachandra Datta, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, when he saw Narendra in that house, he got a shock, thinking that how could such a child appear in a city like Calcutta? That's what he was thinking. Because Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is coming from totally spiritual background. For a spiritually advanced person, this city life will look very strange. The city life, in their eyes, our way, lifestyle will look very strange for them. The way we are driving cars and keeping up appointments, carrying a couple of mobile phones and all sorts of mechanisms. When they look at us, they think these are some strange animals living in this world. That's how they will see us. When they, and the type of clothes we wear and the way we dress up, all kinds of things, right? So from their eyes, from Paramahamsa's eyes, when Narendra sang this song, he was thinking that how could such a person appear in the city? City life is normally, everybody knows what city slickers are, isn't it? So anyway, he looked at him like this, right? But when he came there that day, so immediately Ramakrishna Paramahamsa sensed that he is somebody special. And to appear in the city itself was something which he was not expecting that. But then when Narendra came to see him, he told him to come and sit inside. And then he took a plate with camphor and some incense and everything and offered aradhi to him, to Narendra, who Paramahamsa offered aradhi to him, right? So Narendra thought that what is wrong with this Brahmana? His name was Gadadhar that time, isn't it? So Gadadhar Chakravarti, that was his name. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a later name. So Narendra thought that there is something wrong with him doing aradhi to me, he said, right? And so he says to Paramahamsa, I'm not Narayana, I'm Narendra, he says to him, right? Why do you do all these things, right? Paramahamsa told him, you are stupid, he said, that whenever he kept saying, I am Narendra, he called him Narayana, Parameshwara. In other words, the divinity was sensed by Paramahamsa. Right? He could see that this is not an ordinary soul. He has come with a lot of spiritual assets with him. Right? So, when this happened, when he was addressing him as Narayana, because that's how Paramahamsa saw him, right? Remember, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Kruddeshe Arjuna Tishtari Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrari Uthani Maya, right? So, he could see that the heat that was coming from inside, from Narendra, that spiritual power within him was coming out through him by looking at him itself. He was able to sense that. Others may not. Others didn't, right? So that heat, or which is the chit shakti inside, warmth of that spiritual awareness in him, in Narendra, Paramahamsa has noticed it straight away. That spiritual awareness in him, right? Or consciousness, you can say. So this is known to the yogis. Yogis know this in a person to sense that. That means a jiva who is pakvam. Pakvam means fully ready, matured. In him, that desire for self-realization, brahmanubhava, self-realization, you will see like this, that when the sun rises in the morning, before the sun comes out, you know the sun is coming, isn't it? Because if you look at the sky, there is light there. That's an indication that the sun is coming. In the same way, yogis know this, that when they look at certain jivas, how far they are ready for self-realization, how mature they are, right? And so, so yogis who knows this, when they know that someone has got that spark inside, it's like a small spark coming from a big fire. You keep blowing this and make the fire bigger outside, right? So, seeing this, only that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa told Narendra that you are Narayana, you are Ishvara. He kept saying this, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita to him. You see? Right. And Narendra says, I am not any of those things. And he was rejecting it, right? So he said, Motamate, that keep quiet, he said, that the chit shakti inside is coming out through you in this way, right? So this is only possible only for very advanced people to notice all these things. We won't notice it if we see some people who is spiritual and who is not spiritual. How do we know? But they can notice it, who is spiritual and through whom spirituality comes out, right? And for such jnani, only such gurus, they can find it out. They will know this. Anyone's spiritual position, they will be able to say, self-realized people, they will be able to say one's spiritual situation, where he is at, in which plane he is existing, right? And that is what Krishna mentions, that only such realized souls can say that, and they will be able to speak. This is called a spurti. Spurti means, like Narendra's case, he is advanced so much in his previous life, it will come out through his body and the mind. Everything in the world. And yogis will notice that. Yogis will be able to notice it. That person has something. There are so many cases like this in the same way with many, many great devotees. They have sensed this earlier by their guru, that this person, it will come out in that particular way. Already at an early age in life, they can sense that. And this situation, what is spoken here, is what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Ulkramandam Sidam Vavi, Bunjanam Va Gunanidam, Vimutha Nanu Pashyandi, Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. That's what that means. Able to see in a person how that spiritual life is working in him very strongly, and able to, Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi, ordinary people won't be able to see that. Mudhas won't be able to see that. Vimudha Nanu Pashyandi, but Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. One has got that Jnana Chakshusha. Jnana Chakshusha means this capacity to identify that in a person's, his spiritual state, what state he is, right? So you have to have eyes for that, the special eye, what Krishna is talking about, right? So those verses, you got to think through it, in which background it is spoken. Krishna has not said anything in detail. He just, Ulkramandam Sidam Vabi, he said, Gunjanamma Gunanyudam, Vimodha Nani Vashyandi, Vashyandi Janajatrusha. So Bhagavad Gita verses are like that, unless you understand in which background it is all spoken, right? So for a jnani who has realized the truth, his body itself is like that. It's like a eye, right? So all this is very much a mundane language. It is very difficult to translate all these things, what Krishna has said. That verse, to properly translate it is very difficult. I read so many English translations, none of them is able to deliver the message properly. English translation, it cannot do it. Because the words are like, you can explain it in a big way as much as possible, and you may get something out of it, but straight from the words, if you translate, you won't get it. Ulkramandam Sidam Vavi, Gunjanamma Gunanyajam, Vimodha Nani Vashani. Because what Krishna has done, the whole science Krishna has packed into that verse. Vimodha Nani Vashandi, Pashandi Jnana Chakshusha. Right? In order to see the Chaitanyam inside a person, Andaryami inside a person, that power only can be noticed by a guru who has got that power. A guru who has the power, only he will be able to see that in another person. In another person. That is his power, right? So if it has come to that, then what happens is, this power inside the disciple, he will drag him, drag that disciple to the guru. The power itself inside him will drag him to the guru, right? His body. It will drag his body towards the guru. That is how it happens. That is how it happens. Of course, this happens in great, great personalities. That's all we can discuss now. What I'm saying is, from ordinary people, this is different. We have to study for Shastram, then we have to do a lot of sadhana, and then over a period of time, we will understand something little by little, we'll get understanding. But if you study the realized people who have come to this world with a lot of realizations and with a lot of spirituality, how things happen to them, that's what you have to study first. Why? Because then you know that this is how it happens. That in several lifetimes that accumulated spirituality is suddenly manifesting in this life in them. So they both in the guru as well as in the disciple. Guru Paramahamsa was already very qualified and he lived in the village, but spiritually he was very strong. Materially he was nothing. Mundane education, qualification is concerned, he didn't even know how to write and read. That was his qualification. But spiritually he was powerful. So, and he was able to locate that in the disciple of Narendra. And that is what was the difference was, right? So, in such a situation, a guru who has that power and a disciple who has in that state, he will immediately connect. They will connect each other, right? And how will they connect? This power inside the disciple will drag that body of the disciple close to the guru, bring him to the guru, right? So, in other words, he is attracted by the guru and he is brought forcefully by the arrangement of the prakriti, prakriti's arrangement, right? Examples like that. Take for example, Acharya Swamiji's life itself, right? He was only 8 years old when he left home, yeah? And then he finished with everything else at home. And this has happened over nearly 2,000 years ago, right? Or 1,200, 1,400 years ago, right? When there were no transport facilities. And still, he walked from Kaladi in Kerala all the way to Madhya Pradesh, Omkareshwar, where he met Govinda Bhagavatpada to see the Guru. What is that force that dragged him like that? Walking, it's not an easy walk, he said. It took months and months for him to get there. But what was the force driving him to do that? From a simple village, he walked all the way to Omkareshwar temple in Madhya Pradesh to see the Guru, right? And that power that has dragged him like that, right? Guru didn't come to him. He went to the Guru. He went to the Guru, right? And similarly, Hastamalaka met Acharya Swamiji later, in later life, right? Guru came to see Hastamalaka in that small village in Karnataka called Shivoli. That's where he met him, right? Then Guru went to see Mandana Mishra. Acharya Swamiji went to see Mandana Mishra in Bihar, where in Maheshwari, that was the town where they met, right? And there met him and brought him, dragged him out from there, brought him and installed him in Sringeri as the first Acharya there, Sureshwara Acharya. So Sureshwara Acharya is nothing but Mandana Mishra. And Mandana Mishra was a highly learned person in the Karmagandam of the Vedam. So after debate with him and made him realize that Karmagandam is not the goal, Jnanagandam is the goal, and pulled him out from there and brought him and installed him as the Acharya in Sringeri, right? So this force that is working like this between the Guru and the disciple, that is the power of the Antaryami. It's Antaryami's action only, nothing else. So that I'm saying is that spiritual decisions, spiritual activities, all working between Antaryamis only. Antaryami in the Guru, Antaryami in the disciple. because we haven't even come to that state yet. So we all have to study everything like in the normal way, like we study other material topics. We study Bhagavad Gita also in the same way, right? So, but if this is happening, there are two things there. One is that, that force in the Guru, which comes out, Antaryami comes out, in the form of Anugraha Shakti, blessing power, right? And that Shakti, which comes from the Antaryami of the Guru, depends on the Mumukshatvam of the disciple. The power of Mumukshatvam. You remember what we spoke about? Mumukshatvam means that intense desire for self-realization, liberation, yeah? So you see now what is expected of a disciple. What's expected of a disciple? And that is perfect disciple. Where is that disciple today? Yeah. So, so that means that disciple is pakvam. Pakvam means ready. Ready to blossom. Yeah. So, so if the shrota or listener, if he has got that maturity, pakvata, right, then that pakvata is what created by the Yoga Shastra. We are talking about two, Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastram. Yoga Shastram is to create this pakvata inside a disciple. Now I think you've got a feeling what it means, right? We talked about Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. Brahma Vidya is the goal at the end. What does that mean? To become free from the body and the mind. The science that is behind that is Brahma Vidya. Yoga Shastram is the science that prepares the body and the mind to receive Brahma Vidya. So that is why every chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is like this. Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. Spoken like that. Yoga Shastram is for preparing the disciple to receive the Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is the one that completely Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidyam Pradishtam. All knowledge has come. That's what creates that krita krityata, fulfillment. Fulfillment comes from Brahma Vidya. Yoga Shastram prepares the person for that. Lot to think about in these things, you know. Because so many great personalities have appeared in so many different traditions, isn't it? If you keep on reading about them, you will see it's not everything katha, katha, katha. It's not katha. That they also had to go through in their own life. Namabhodhendra, Saraswati, and all, if you read that, Sadashiva Brahmendra, people whom I know, but there are many others like that, they have all walked through this before they got to that state. Yeah? So, so Yoga Shastram, yeah? So, Guru gives the Brahma Vidya, but if you want to receive that Brahma Vidya, in order to have that power for that, you need Yoga Shastram. So through Yoga Shastram makes you ready for Brahma Vidya. You become matured through Yoga Shastram to receive Brahma Vidya, right? So before that, what that Yoga Shastram begins is Krishna is saying that first begins with Karma Yogam. Through Karma Yogam, when you have executed Karma Yogam, Nishkama Karma Anishtanam, through that, mainly Krishna will talk about this, that karmam, wherever Krishna has put you in whatever situation in this world, you have to find the solution there itself. Whichever situation Krishna has put in, right? So, say Krishna has put us in all sorts of situations, people. Isn't it? Working in different conditions, in different places. Krishna's point is, the seed of your liberation is there in that work what you are doing. In the work what you are doing, the seed of the liberation is there, right? And it is wrong to think that only if I go to a temple or only if I go to an ashram, I'll have spiritual life. That's a misunderstanding. This is all in the modern days. People have created it like that, right? And there is no wrong place at all in the world. Wherever Krishna has put us, right, the seed for liberation is also there. That means it has to start with karmam first. That karmam, right? And there it has to open up, right? And if we have learned that executing that karma, whatever karma that is coming through us, without desires as a karma yogam, right? In other words, Krishna has put us in a particular dress, this body, and put us in a particular situation, and told us that you do, this is your karma, and you have to do it throughout life, is it not? Whatever that is, right? So, the only option you have got is, what the dress what you have got, play your role properly in that dress, right? And while doing that, the selfishness has to go from inside. That's what Karma Yoga is doing. Karma Yoga makes us selfless. That's the idea behind Karma Yoga. To make a person totally selfless. Totally selfless. And when that happens, you get purified. Chittam Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi happens, right? Tanmanam Shodhanam Karyam. Chitta Shuddhi happens to a person, then what will happen is, this vastu inside Antaryami, it will manifest to that person. He is recognizing Antaryami's presence inside. Rukma Varnam, it is said, like gold inside, says Upanishad. Upanishad says so. So, this contact between a first-class vaktava, speaker, and a first-class listener, shrotava, right, will happen at that time. At that time, when all these things are, conditions are met, right? So, when that contact happens, it may not be necessary to say something even. You don't have to speak even anything, right? Even in quietness, message will be transmitted. Even in the quietness, right? So, that means you don't have to hear anything. Even in extreme quietness, this can happen. Extreme quietness, this can happen. Yeah, like you saw that Dakshinamurti instructing the four Kumaras. Maunavya kya prakatitam says. Maunam, through silence it is transmitted. Isn't it? Silence it is transmitted. So this whole science is in the Upanishads. When it comes to Puranam, it takes a different form. It's spoken in a different way. And that is why this story of the Kumaras and the Jayavijaya, how that came into Bhagavatam, it is like this. Kumaras, who are they? They are jnanis, realized souls they were. They went to Vaikuntham and they had Jayavijaya stop them, denied entrance, you see not. And Kumaras cursed Jayavijaya. They got this birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And so that was the punishment for Jayavijaya. Now, being Jnanis, they shouldn't have cursed them. But because they cursed them, Krishna punished them as well. And that punishment for the Jnanis is Prahlada. What else? The Hiranyakashipu, Krishna's control, I'm saying, how it happens, right? Hiranyakashipu controlled everybody, everything in this creation, it's under his control. And dead against Krishna in every aspect, so demoniac he became, and right, Krishna gives him his son, a fully realized soul, to a father like that. Krishna gives him a fully realized soul as the son. And Kumaras had to accept a body form. So the four Kumaras came in that form as Prahlada, and Jayavijaya came as Hiranyakashipu. Jaya came as Hiranyakashipu. So this is Brahmavidya. This is Brahmavidya, right? So this there is no necessity even to instruct any more further, right? Speaking is just because of sampradayam, right? But what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita is Tad Vidhi Pranipadena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshandide Jnanam Jnanina Sattva Darshinaha. Right? So, you go, offer your obeisances, Pranipadam, then Pariprasnam, conversations, right? So, Prachaga, right? Then Pranipadam, and then offer obeisances. Why did Krishna say offer obeisances, right? In order to show to us that you are qualified only if you have that humility inside. Otherwise you cannot have Brahmavidya. Whereas in the university you don't need to offer obeisances or anything. You pay your fees, you can go. Some funny university classes they show in the YouTube and all that, you know. If you look at them, you will see how the students are coming to the class and they gang up together to bully the teacher, and teacher also knows. And if you observe that, what relationship is this between the teacher and the this and the students, right? It's not like that. Here, Krishna is saying, Upadesha, Tadvidhi Pranipadam. Pranipadam is important, right? So that is why, that's what makes you qualified for Brahma Vidya, right? So sometimes people ask this, oh, I got Krishna is in my heart, why do I have to go to the temple, right? But it is not like that. Temple and the murti and all these things is required because you can see sometimes Lord Shiva's devotee, they go to the Shiva temple, and Vishnu's devotee, they go to the Vishnu temple. The devotees are like that, right? They will try to find out where are the divine locations, where the temples are, or the and they will inquire about it, and they will go there and they will glorify the deity there, and famous songs they have written about that, and offer obeisances to their deities there in those temples, right? So that thing, doing like that, you are talking about devotees in the past who have done this. They have gone to big temples and glow there, and they glorify the deity there, and they offer obeisances to the deity. You can see that in the case of Manikyavachagar and Upper and all that. They will say like this, Upper glorified this deity, or Manikyavachagar glorified this deity. That's how that temple becomes popular in that way, because of the glorification, right? So what it means is, you are making yourself to surrender. The training for surrender. How to surrender, right? So this practicing surrender like this, this is only one thing what we have to learn in this world, how to surrender. That's a difficult one, how to learn surrender, right? Because if you surrender in this world, you cannot live in this world. That's the problem. Everybody will take advantage of you if you surrender, right? So normally in our life in this world, it is opposite way, isn't it? We don't surrender. We compete each other. We compete each other, right? As soon as you go into school, how to get to the first rank, or at least you should be in the top of the class, they say. And this starts from the age of 5 and goes all the way right up to the end of your education. That means another 20-25 years, this is the only thing you have practiced, how to be in the top of the class, to get a rank or a good grading, so that you are focused on your life, that you want a particular profession, to shine in the profession, so you are always focused on this, how to be on the top of everything, right? So, so this is in the mundane life. In spiritual life, it is exactly opposite. How to be in the last of everything, not in the front. How to be behind everybody, and that is surrender. And that is the difficult thing. One who has practiced the other one, it makes very difficult for him to practice this one. In spiritual life, how to be behind everybody. You are behind all other people in this world, right? And whereas in the there it is, you want to be number one. And in the spiritual life, you have to be the last for everything. But sometimes what happens in spiritual life, you can see this with some people. When they come to spiritual life also, they want to be the most dynamic devotees. They call them like that. So what do they understand about devotion then? So devotion requires this surrender. Surrender is the key for that. Surrender means that I am nothing. Everyone else is bigger than me. That attitude. So that is what makes spiritual life more difficult. Mundane life, you can compete with others and get to the top somehow or the other, or at least somewhere in the higher level. That competition spirit is there. But here, that's not what is required. What is required is the surrendering spirit is required. So so that is the problem with spiritual life and material life. material life, you are continuously competing and to be in the front, on the top of everything. In spiritual life, you don't want to compete with anybody. You want to be behind everything else so that you can surrender. You are accepting that your ahankaram is gone. That's what it means. Only when the ahankaram goes away, you can surrender like that, right? So, Vivekananda said this. He said that God is God because He is not seen anywhere. Whereas, this is what we have to know. In this world, we want to know the whole world, know that I exist, isn't it? Look at now, Trump, all over the world is talking about only one person. Donald J. Trump. In everywhere, this conversation is centered around him now, isn't it? That's the ahankaram inside. Yeah. And whereas Ishvara, Krishna, who is controlling this whole creation, you don't see him at all. You don't see him at all. So that's the difference between ahankaram doing something and Antaryami doing another thing. Antaryami acts in another way. Ahankaram acts in another way. Ahankaram wants to know the whole world, that he is everywhere, he should be known. People should accept him as a authority in this way, right? But you won't see that in a person who is in the spiritual path. He'll be like Antaryami. He'll be doing things what is necessary, but surrendering all the time. Surrendering all the time. So when ahankaram completely leaves a person, he becomes like Antaryami, Ishvara, right? But in order to become to that completion state, first of all, Krishna is saying here that you have to practice that yoga system, how to free yourself from that ahankaram, and that yoga system is bhakti. That yoga system is bhakti, sharanagati, and continuously surrendering to Krishna, right? And that realization has to come from that. Yeah. So what is the realization? Realization is like this. In Sushupti, ahankaram doesn't exist, right? Such an avastha situation is not there. Means I don't exist in the Sushupti. All I had was, I had a good sleep. I enjoyed the sleep very much, right? But I didn't feel my existence. So that Sushupti state, if you can bring into the vacant state. In Sushupti there is no ahankaram, isn't it? Ahankaram disappeared. So if you can bring that Sushupti state into the vacant state, that means you are making a big progress in spiritual life. That's the proof of that, right? So in other words, in Jagrat, in vacant state, if I can experience that my existence doesn't exist, I don't exist. I don't exist. That's what it means. It means that I am behind everybody means I don't exist. I'm not important anymore. And if that comes that movement doesn't happen, that I am, I am, I am, that the ahankaram is not moving anymore, at that stage you are not a person anymore. You're not a person anymore. Then what are you? That means you are in the perfectional stage. Ahankaram has completely left you means you have become like the Antaryami, unseen, unnoticeable, but things are happening through you in that way, right? So, instead of remaining separately as an individual, as a person, separately from Ishvara as an individual or a person, instead you become Bhumava, like Upanishad says, akhandam, unbroken, all-pervading nature comes back to you in the realized state. Yeah, so we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll get into the second chapter tomorrow. The 16th chapter tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.